Welcome to The Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr. And have you ever done your astrological chart where you look up your birth time and date and someone, or maybe a website, or you can look it up in a book or an astrologist that will tell you different points about your personality and your destiny and so forth? Well, have you heard of a field called astrocartography? It is the field of the astrology of location. It's often very overlooked. It's about where or the dimension that you are in or ideally could be in that could lead to more success and fulfillment, or the opposite, frustration and disappointment in your life. Joining me is Scott Wolfram. He is an astrocartologist, and he has been studying this for over a decade, and he's really done an amazing amount of work of helping people find their best location based on the mapping of their soul's journey. Welcome to the show, Wolfram, you are affectionately called. Hello.
Hi, Lisa. It's a pleasure to chat with you today.
So interesting, astrocartography. What does that mean, and how did you discover this concept?
So I've actually been on this journey for a long time, and I first started studying astrology, and I met my guru when I was a teenager. And over the course of my life, I had these experiences where not only was I being introduced to new parts of my soul's journey, but also to new locations. So in 2001, I left the corporate world and became a full-time astrologer, and in the process, discovered, a number of systems of mapping your birth chart. And really what happens is that when we're aware and when we're connected to our soul's journey, or as my guru would say, as we're moving in harmony with the sun, moon, and stars, we're drawn to special places. And, for the last 13 years, this has been my specialty and really the thing that I have built my work with. And it's been just an amazing thing for me, but also for the thousands of people I've worked with.
How did it help you in your life? Were you in a location that wasn't working for you? Can you tell me a little of your story?
Well, I was born in Milwaukee, and I had a number of energies there that really led to me being, in a sense, a little bit more blunt, direct, sometimes a little bit angry, and definitely confused. And by chance, in 1991, a success on a project led to a move to Los Angeles, and all of a sudden, everything changed. My life opened up. I was more successful. I was happier. I was brighter. But I also discovered things about my soul's journey. I, in a sense, became more aware of what I was here to do. And that led to other moves as the journey unfolded to the area around Minneapolis. And then we spent seven years in Munich, Germany. And these are three of my most powerful places on the planet.
When you looked it up.
And, of course, in the very beginning, when I went to Los Angeles in 1991, I didn't know that, but I discovered that a few years later.
Had you always been interested in astrology?
Yeah, I took my first course in my teens and learned how to draft a chart by hand. Thankfully, we don't have to do that by hand anymore. Computers make life a lot easier that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun thing was that at the same time I did that, I met my guru, and I discovered this really wonderful connection between the soul's journey and the journey toward enlightenment that we're all on, and the role that astrology plays.
And what is that? I mean, it makes sense, but what did you discover?
So, really, astrology allows us to explore three great questions, Lisa, and because they're great questions, they're very simple ones. And those questions are what, when, and where. So at birth, the birth chart that we get contains our soul's journey, our past life karma, the patterns we'll be drawn into early in this life, the way family will treat us, the way society will treat us, but it also reveals to us the path moving forward toward our dharma, what that path moving forward for each individual, what that path is. And the greatest gift I think that this gives an individual is most people don't have access to all the possibilities that are out there. Families and society tend to say, well, why don't we all go down this path together? But some souls really have their own individual path, and they really need to understand, or they can really benefit from understanding and being aware of what that material is. So the first question is, what is that path so we can get on it? Mm-hmm. The second question is when, because the planets keep moving, and in the process of their moving, they identify times of opportunities and rewards. Those are the good times, but also times of challenge and frustration, mm-hmm. and then also times of powerful transformation. And so we have always, for centuries, worked with the astrology of the birth chart and the timing, the what and the when. Mm-hmm. But only really in the last 20 years or so has the advent of computers made location astrology, the where part, available to us. And the key here is that because when people call me, they are almost universally living on energies that are either not supportive or at best mixed. And so they call me because, at even with their best efforts, something seems to be resisting them. And when they figure out where those supportive locations are, it makes it easier to understand your soul's journey. It makes it easier to take advantage of the timing and the transits that take place. So where you live is sort of like this mist, but it's almost like the secret key to astrology.
So what did you notice when you moved from, say, Los Angeles to Minneapolis? Astrologically or energetically, what was the flow like for you? What showed up in your life that showed you that was a better place for you?
Well, in this case, one of the things that happens, Lisa, that's a really great question. My experience is that most individuals have 8 to 12 places around the world that, based on their astrology, is sort of part of their soul's bucket list of really great places for them. And each of these places can play a really important role, and they all tend to be a little bit different. So for me, the energies in Los Angeles was about self-discovery and success, whereas the energy in Minneapolis was a little bit more about building a clientele and connecting with a network of people that would be both the people that come for readings, but also the network of great people that I have as colleagues and so on. And so it's a slightly different energy, but both the LA energy and the Minneapolis energy, both were successful, but just from a slightly different perspective.
Can you discover this by traveling to these locations or vacationing there, or are these places that you really need to live in order to understand them?
In fact, the answer is here. This is a really great one. Is there are three ways to embrace the energies. The strongest is to live there and basically to find one of those places that are really great for you and to live there all the time. But then the other places are places where we can travel and, in a sense, have that inspiration and energy flow through us and sort of change us. One great example of that is Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love, the book and then the movie. When she traveled to Italy and to Bali, these were two of her most powerful places on the earth where the sun was in focus. And so when she went there and spent a month in each place gathering and writing, it led to her having this great success in the wonderful book and movie.
Interesting.
And then sometimes we never go to the places. Sometimes the places come to us. So In other words, you might find that there's a place that you never go to, but somehow you get drawn to the people or the culture or a business that's located from that area. Hmm. And that's the least important. But so we have these three ways, and the key is to be aware of what those locations are and then to see which ones of those are starting to become energized and present in your life.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, could your soul be trying to tell you something? Like, I'm constantly having visions of sitting in an Italian cafe outside in a warm summer night. That could just be me wanting to escape. But is that something that your soul could really be telling you?
All the time. And so one of the things that I find is that when I'm working with people, there tend to be two groups. One group of people that are not aware of their best location, and they're consistently drawn into bad patterns. And those patterns, in a sense, frustrate and limit their ability to be successful and to make progress both externally in the world and also internally and spiritually. But other people naturally do have this awareness. And one of the really fun things is when I go through a worldwide reading and I am identifying those 8 to 12 places, generally when I say, are there any other places that you're interested in that you want me to talk about, almost every time the answer is, no, you've already hit all the ones I'm really drawn to. And that's when we know that we have these connections. So, yeah, people really are aware of where these places are. They can be.
Hmm. Well, what if somebody wants to work in film, yet their astrocartography chart says you need to live in Montana?
So that's, again, just a great question. And I just finished writing a chapter for a book called, for the Organization of Professional Astrologers, and it's called Eat, Pray, Love, But Where. And one of my examples is Robert Redford. He was born in Santa Monica. He was born in the middle of the movie industry, but he really became successful when he moved to Utah. For Robert Redford, his most powerful energies are from eastern Utah to western Colorado to New Mexico. And when he went there, that's when he started to have his biggest success.
Huh.
So sometimes we don't, because are there people that are in music and movies who are drawn to New York or to Los Angeles? That happens very often. But the rest of the time, you know, you can live at a very important place and then travel for work. And when you're living where your energies are supportive of your efforts, we tend to be more radiant, more in tune with our soul path, and we tend to have more success, even when our work might be in Los Angeles or in Hollywood.
Interesting. How do you find what places are ideal for you? Do you take the person's birth date and time and location and so forth? Is that how you come to the astrocartography?
So when the planets are always in the sky, and at the moment of birth, the horizon basically captures those planets and takes a solar snapshot and creates the birth chart. That birth chart is mapped onto the world in four maps, two that are primary and two that are secondary. And the two primary maps are astrocartography. This is the one that most people are aware of. And then the older map is called the geodetic map. And here's the key. My job, it sounds very simple, but my job is to find good energies in both astrocartography and geodetic maps, and to avoid bad energies. So as an example, if you have good energies in one map but bad energies in the other, it's not as supportive as going to a place where there's just one good energy. So, but we start with those two maps, and then the other two maps, one's called local space and the other is called Paran, these are fine tuners. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I will say, if you have great energy in all of California, I might say your energies are better in Los Angeles or San Diego or maybe Santa Barbara or maybe San Francisco. Depending on the secondary energies can sometimes really hold the special little keys.
What if your ideal location is different than your family's. I mean, what happens when you find a family with three or four different locations?
So, and what we do with families within a family, and let's take a family of four, the most important thing is to find the locations where the parents have the most supportive energy. When they're successful and they can provide a supportive environment for their children, that's the most important thing. Now, normally, if we're looking at, let's just say we're looking at the United States, generally people have four good locations as individuals.
Okay.
And as a couple, they might have two. So then we would say, then we would choose between the other two based on where the kids are a little bit better. But naturally, Lisa, the more charts we're working with, the more complicated it gets. And that's where the concept of trade-offs come in, because we have to think also about, you know, where are the job opportunities and, you know, where is the culture and climate favorable? And sometimes people say, I want to stay near my extended family. Those are other decision-making factors that are just part of the practical process.
Hmm. Interesting. Right. So you help everyone kind of figure out the best common location. So this field of astrocartography, who was it created by?
Well, it really has been around for a long, long time. But really the champion of astrocartography was Jim Lewis. And Jim Lewis was the one that championed the astrocartography map about 25, 30 years ago, and really brought it forward. I'm one of the 80 people in the world that's licensed to use his trademark and to be certified to do the work that he did. And that's really when things got going. And it was really connected, Lisa, to the availability of computers to be able to create the maps, because obviously that's sort of taking – making the whole world available, and it's a lot more complicated than doing a simple chart. So it's really only been available to do for the last 30 years.
So, by the way, for those listening, the website is astrologyoflocation.com, astrologyoflocation.com. And do you need to have the person's exact birth time and so forth as well?
So the most that's a really key is that the really to have it tight within, you know, if you have an exact time from a birth certificate, that's clearly the best. We can work with a time that's 5 to 10 minutes off to a certain degree, but once you get beyond that, it gets harder and harder. Now, there is one caveat to that. Some people don't have a birth time. So especially as an example with a couple, you might have one person that has the birth time and the other one that doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
For that person without a birth time, the only map that works is the geodetic map.
What is that? What's a geodetic map?
So the geodetic map basically takes the world and it takes the zodiac and it places the zodiac physically around the Earth. And then the birth chart just gets dropped into this fixed grid. And actually, back in 2005, my first major conference, astrology conference, my lecture was called The Geodetic Map, Cultural Signatures, Past Lives, and Current Events. And one of the really interesting things is that, let's just take the United States. You can take the geodetic structure of signs, and when you place them onto the United States, you can tell why Southern California and Northern California are different. Astrologically, they're day and night.
I was going to say that's. I was going to ask you about this three California state thing, and what you see that. I mean, that's really interesting. They're totally different energies, right?
They are, and so you can actually. You know, in this first lecture, I went around the world, and it's very interesting. It's the same reason why England doesn't really want to be part of Europe. They're in different geodetic signs. And as a result of that, even though they're directly next to one another, just like Southern and Northern California, England and Europe have different energetic structures. And so they feel different somehow. The cultures mm-hmm. are literally different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so. That's so interesting. So they have different maps all together.
That's right. And sometimes we can talk about things like, why is this culture different from this culture? Then just the geodetic map is helpful. And other times we talk about individuals' maps. So as an example, this is just kind of one of these things that whenever there's a new president, wherever they have Mars in astral cartography and geodetic maps, that's where they go to war. And you can literally pick out the places before, you know, and say this is where all the hotspots are going to be. And they're always really accurate that way.
Do you ever see where certain signs would live in certain regions, like Capricorns would like the mountains more, or their Aquarians would like the islands more? Do you ever find that?
No, that part I don't. And really, it is the complexity of the planetary energies. So, but here's the thing. People have, to a certain degree, a draw. So some people with, let's say, a lot of Pisces might say, I really love to be by the ocean, and Capricorn say, I want to be more in the area of mountains. But they really will find their success and their fulfillment when they have the opportunity to know where their individual planets are most supportive.
Mm.
So it's almost like we have a bucket list of all these great places that are beautiful. They have culture, they have history, they have geography, they have climate. But we take those, but then the real key for individuals is to say, what's my soul's bucket list? Which ones are those places for me? And then when we say, oh, I love this kind of environment and I have good energies there, that's where the magic really happens.
Hmm. Now, have you found that where, do you ask people what resonates with them the most at the beginning, or do you just look at the chart to see if it matches?
So there's two versions to this. We send out them a little form and they say, give us the places that you've had experiences at and the places that you want to know about. And as you might imagine, some people send us 3 pages and some people send us nothing.
Mm.
What I do though, no matter what, is I identify the places that are good for them. So as an example, if Robert Redford had come to me and said, tell me about Los Angeles, I would have told him, you really don't have much energy there. It's neither good nor bad. Here are your good places.
Hmm. I wonder, have you ever, obviously you see people that come to you that feel that they have not had success. Do you ever have someone coming to you saying, I feel great, I have great success, can you validate this for me, and has it not been at the same place?
So that is such a great question, Lisa. That is super, because I would say, the majority of my practice is focused on location, but I have a full practice, and 19 out of 20 people write and say, I need something better. But 1 out of 20 writes and says, I don't need to move. I'm successful. I'm happy. Tell me where to vacation. Those individuals, 100% of the time, are always living where I would recommend them to live.
Oh, interesting.
And let me just say, Lisa, that after the first 500 times that happened, I stopped wondering about it, and then because it's really such a powerful confirmation. But no, those people actually, and sometimes they even say, I don't want to know about location. Some just say, tell me about my soul's journey. I want to deepen my spirituality. Tell me about my path.
Well, go ahead.
And those people are always living at good locations that are supportive for them.
Are there different locations? One's better for money, one's better for spirituality, one's better for relationship and love, one's better for health. Do you thrive in the place that, within all of these categories in life, in the place that works for you?
Imagine, Lisa, that you have a stool and 4 legs. And one of them is your personal world. The second is your career. The third is relationships. And the fourth is your home and family. And you grab one of the legs of the stool and you lift it up. That leg, that aspect of life is most in focus, but the other legs of the stool also come up off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the keys here is that my experience, particularly with people in the modern world, is that when they are successful and confident and aware of their path, all the other aspects get easier.
Oh, I see.
One of the things that I find does not work, as an example, if you read the books, they'll generally tell you go to your Venus line and you'll find your partner. And Venus is the goddess of beauty, but she's not the goddess of inner confidence and success.
Hmm.
And so today, when we find people, most of the women that I know that are living on Venus line don't have the relationships that they want. And the reason is that they need to be confident, aware, and fulfilled so that they can express who they really are inside. That today we need to get that out. And that really is the most important thing, because we're not just looking for to have a spouse. We're looking for a partner. We're looking for somebody that understands us, that will support us on our journey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you ever told someone where they should live and they just don't want to? Like maybe you tell me to live in China and I have absolutely no affiliation with it whatsoever?
Sure. And here's the thing. When we look at the world and there's 8 to 12 places, there's always some place that's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 5 to 6 places around the world that are kind of good for me, but I don't care about them, and that's okay because I'm living on good energy. And that's really what counts. So, and the key becomes, and I have this one example, about 10 years ago, a gentleman said, I work for an international company. I can work anywhere. Where should I go? And I told him 4 or 5 places around the world outside the U.S., and he called me back about a year ago and he said, I'm upset. But he said, but I'm also happy. So I said, tell me the good news. And he said, my career has never been better.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that is so great. That was your objective. What's the problem? He said, I'm living in Germany and I really don't like Germans. And I was living in Germany at the time, and
uh-huh.
I am understood because they're different culturally. They're different socially.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like the way that feels, even if you're successful, you won't be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always trying to find the combination
mm-hmm.
of where the astrology on one side is favorable, and then the opportunities, the culture, and climate and geography are also favorable, because that's when we're happy.
So interesting. Well, I think that people can find out more if you go to astrologyoflocation.com. And there's an example on there of someone who had a reading and what it looks like and a consultation and so forth. So it's really interesting, really interesting. Thank you so much for showing us this new form of astrology. By new, I mean about 50 years new. And how it can really help us with the where in terms of our astrological ideal location. So much. Thank you so much. Wolfram has been my guest. And it is called astrologyoflocation.com. Check it out. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And I am Lisa Garr. You're listening to The Aware Show. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.